Hallelujah. Are you all happy?
Yes.
Can you hear me clearly? Yes? Good? Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This whole week, as some of you know, the college students from all over Canada, they are here in Winnipeg. As I was on the plane, someone was asking me, why are you going to Winnipeg? What is there in Winnipeg? The saints are in Winnipeg.
Amen.
And I really appreciate how this week the Lord sovereignly arranged all the college students all over Canada to have such a blending trip here. I think the last time we did was 2017. So the Lord has brought all the college students here, especially after the pandemic years, so that we can have such a sweet blending among the saints, among the churches. I hope the saints in Winnipeg, they really appreciate. I heard that some of them, they were in the different hospitality homes. I went to a couple of them, and I saw how they sleep. It was very sweet. They were all lined up in one accord. Did you all enjoy college students?
Amen.
You all enjoyed your time here?
Amen.
You all enjoyed being like sardines?
Amen.
But that's very sweet. You know, the saints really opened their homes this time.
Yes.
I feel this is really a glorious manifestation of being in one body.
Amen.
You know, some of the homes and some of the saints, this is the first time that you have met them, right? You've never known them. And I tell you, eventually when you get to know how the Duicks are related, then you probably graduated. I haven't figured out yet. And I've been coming for quite a few years. Maybe Brother Robert can relate more to how they're all related. Anyway, we really thank the Lord for this weekend.
Amen.
For this weekend's conference. Huh? Amen. Okay, so we come to this message or these messages, which was from the past International Chinese Speaking Conference. There's altogether 5 messages, and I can testify to this. Brother Robert and I, we were together just 2 weeks ago. We were in the Philippines, in southern Philippines, speaking to the working saints there with the same topic. But you know what? Even though it's the same 5 messages, same outline, we are in different places, the Lord has a different shining.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking, oh, maybe I can speak what I spoke there and speak the same thing. It doesn't work that way. The Lord has a different shining. The Lord has a different leading and different application to the many saints who are in different places. So, what I would try to do this morning, it's going to be, we all need to exercise our spirit. There's only 3 sessions this weekend. And in these 3 sessions, originally, we were going to cover message 1, 3, and 5. But we feel that it would be good if we can cover all 5 messages. Well, we tried to do that yesterday. We tried to combine message 2 and 3. How was it? Did you enjoy?
Amen.
Was it too much yesterday? No? Okay, good. Thank you. I'm encouraged. So this morning, we will try to combine message 4 and 5. Amen? So just quickly, I know some saints, you weren't here yesterday. Just quickly, message 1. Okay, this whole weekend, we are on Romans chapter 5 through 8, which is considered the kernel of the Bible. Kernel meaning the very core, the very juicy part of a particular fruit. Okay, so Romans chapter 5 to chapter 8. And later on, you'll also realize... I'll leave it to Brother Robert. From Romans 5 to 8, these 4 chapters, Even these four chapters, the most crucial one is Romans chapter 8. And that's why the college students this time, they memorized chapter 8. Did you enjoy memorizing chapter 8? I hope you are constituted with all these verses because it will go a long way with you. Because you will realize that this whole entire chapter 8 is, I would say in a nutshell, our whole entire Christian life. So anyway, message 1, we covered concerning the line of life and the line of death. Okay? The Lord created man and put him in front of the tree of life so that man would choose the tree of life. So in front of man, we are always given a choice. May we all choose life.
Amen.
In this universe, there are two lines. There is the line of life, which is from the tree of life, and there is the line of death, which originates from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So with this kind of a picture, we can see and realize that man is always in the middle. Man is always in a triangular situation between what? Life and death. So, as Moses has indicated in Deuteronomy chapter 19, encourage the children of Israel. So we encourage all of us, encourage one another to choose life. Can we all declare that? Choose life. Again, choose life. Okay, so when we come to message 2, it's on, two main sections, on being justified by faith. Thank the Lord we have been justified by faith through the blood of Christ. And through His blood, we have, number 1, we have peace toward God. And we are also reconciled back to God. And then another point on message 2 is regarding, I was encouraged, a lot of saints shared on this last night. There is tribulation. But we do not worry about tribulation, or we do not fuss over tribulation, because tribulation is the incarnation of grace. Because with tribulation comes grace. And the Lord supplies us with grace as we are going through this tribulation or suffering. He supplies us with grace, not in a small little aspect, but He supplies us grace super abundantly. And also, tribulation is a way for us to what? Just like the example of gold. Gold is refined by fire. So, as we are going through tribulation, it is like we are undergoing through fire. Okay? As gold is going through fire, it becomes more and more pure. All the impurities are burned away. So you can say that applying it to us, we are like this gold going through fire. We are being perfected. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we come to message 3, which is talking about what? Baptized in the likeness of His death and in the likeness of His resurrection. It is not just baptism. Baptism is not just an outward ritual. Baptism, we need to realize, we are being baptized into Christ.
Amen.
Can we declare this phrase? Into Christ. Again, into Christ. We need to realize we are being baptized. When we were baptized into the name of the triune God. We are being baptized into Christ. And through baptism, we are joined to Him. Our old man has been terminated. Our old man is no more. As we come out of the water, we are a new creation. And through baptism, given the example of grafting, we are growing into Him.
Amen?
Amen? So with grafting, He and us, we are what? We are joined together. Right? With the picture of grafting, right? Where there is a cut and it is bound together through a period of time. Both the branch and both branches, they grow together. So that when you take off the wrapping, you can't even tell where the cut was because they have grown together. This is a picture of our organic union with the Lord. Amen? Amen? Are you still with me? We haven't gone into message 4 yet. Okay, let's come to message 4. Let's read the title together. Message 4. Okay? Again, the new husband. So you can say, okay, with the new husband, there must be what? An old husband. And then you may think, as college students, you may ask me, Brother Albert, I'm not even married yet. Why are you talking to us about husband? Can you relate to this? Is this something relatable to you? Well, I hope so. I hope in the next few minutes it will become even more relatable to you. Because we need to realize that all the way from Genesis, we need to realize that we as believers, we are in the position of a wife. Amen? It's mentioned in Isaiah that your maker is your husband. So we, whether we are male or female, we are in the position of a female. We are in the position of a wife. And I like to, maybe I'll just use a few minutes. I think it's easier this way. I'll just speak as an introductory, and this will lead us into the outline. Amen? Because I can finish the outline in maybe less than 5 minutes. Okay, so with this, we realize that our position, as I said, is in the position of a wife. After God created man, right, then came Eve as the picture of a proper wife for Adam. And we see from that picture, even from the Old Testament, God's original intention for the wife is, I'll give you these two. I'll just shoot it right out, okay? The principle, underlying principle of a wife toward a husband, do you know, is what? Number one is dependence, okay? You can write it down. Still take notes, okay? Number one, the underlying principle is dependence. Number two principle is the matter of submission. So as the wife, as a female toward God, this should be our standing and our position. When God created man, it was never his intention that man would be independent from him. Man only became independent from God because of the fall. Do you agree? Yes. Because after the fall, then man start to drift away from God slowly after each fall. After each generation of fall, slowly drifting away from God, slowly becoming independent from God. So, again, the principle or the position of man originally is to be dependent on God. Amen. Saints, how sweet it is when we can depend on God. You know, many times we get into trouble, you know what? It's because we are independent of God. Many things in our life, decisions, choosing this and that, small things, big things, it is because we become the boss. We become independent of God. Saints, may we learn how to come back. Amen. And be one that depends on God. Amen. Okay, number two, I mentioned already, is concerning the matter of submission. Okay, so here in this message four, we are also seeing that there is a triangular situation of what? Of us having what? Two husbands. As I said, the old husband and the new husband. Who do you think is the old husband? And who do you think is the new husband? And what should we do to get rid of the old husband and to be married to the new husband? No idea? Let's come and read the verses, okay? Then it will be more clear to you. Don't you enjoy as you come and read, it becomes so clear? Turn to Romans chapter 7. Let's just read verses 2 to 4, okay? Do you have your Bible with you? Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Let's read verses 2 to 4. Then I promise you, it will become more clear. Okay? Amen. Okay? Go. For the married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he is living. But if... Okay, underline, if the husband dies. Okay, I'll get back to this in a second. Continue. 3. So then, while the husband, she is joined to another man, but if the husband dies, she is freed from the law. Verse 4. So then, my brothers, so who do you think is the old husband? The old husband, remember yesterday I told you, I left you hanging a little bit in suspense. We talked about the old man. I said we're going to come back to this. The old husband is our old man. Okay? Write this down. Our old husband is our old man. And this old man is the problem. The old man always... the old man, which is, you can describe it as the self, is always the problem. The self wants to be proud. The self wants to be independent from God. So this old man, we have no choice. We are joined to it. This is part of us, right? But in order for us to what? To receive Christ as the new husband, we need, what do you think? For you to... have a new husband, what happens to the old husband? Like it says here, needs to what? Need to die. Need to be terminated, right? But I tell you, it's not easy for you to get rid of the old man, is it? Because what? It's part of you. It's part of us. Whether you get rid of it or not, it's attached to you. It's connected to you. So we need to what? We need to turn to the Lord. So that's why it says here, with the new husband, we need to what? We need to learn to deny ourselves. We need to learn to what? To terminate the old man so that we can what? Like it says here, then we are freed, right? When the old husband dies, then we are freed to marry what? The new husband, which is Christ. Amen. I hope you enjoy this analogy. You know, this matter of being joined and being married to the new husband is something that we need to realize and experience in our daily living with the Lord. So the old man always wants to be the boss, but we need to realize that we have a husband. And in our position as a wife, we need to what? We need to give the Lord the preeminence in all things. That's the key word I want you to write down. Preeminence in all things. What does that mean? We need to give him the first place in all things. We need to check with him. We need to always be open to him. Lord, what is my future? Lord, what is my next step? How should I go on? We always need to give the Lord the preeminence in all things. I'd like to read to you a small portion before we go on. And it will cover part of the outline, and we can continue on. Okay. Right. Let me read it to you this portion. Before a person believes and is baptized, he only has one person, the person of the old man. But when he believes and is baptized into the triune God, he becomes involved with another person, a divine person. This wonderful person is God Himself. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we have an organic union with Him. Through His death, our old man has been crucified with Christ. But in Christ's resurrection, our regenerated new man has resurrected with Him. You see, That's how these things come together with the picture of baptism, right? Since our old man has been crucified with Christ, we are released from the law of the old man or the old husband. So now we can live to God. What a wonderful change. Many believers, from our experience, we can all testify to this. Before we believe into Christ, we live by our old man under law. But after we have believed into Christ, something within us regulates us, causing us to no longer live the old manner of life. The inner regulation, on one hand, causes us to die to the old manner of life. On the other hand, causes us to live to God. So our old man has been crucified with Christ, and now we are released from the law under the old man. Now we are no longer under law, we are living to God. Now we belong to this new husband, and we bear fruit to God. We are no longer the old man, we are the new man. We have a regenerated spirit. We should exercise to live no longer just by ourselves, but by depending on Christ as our real husband. You see the word dependent. If we depend on Him, we live an overcoming life. Otherwise, we will be defeated. This is the unique revelation of chapter 7. Do you like that part? We need to pray to the Lord that this would be our experience. So let's come to the outline quickly on message 4. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. We already read the title, Roman numeral 1, all together. Christ is a new husband. Brothers A. Sisters B. So we have this love relationship with the Lord. And to a lot of believers, they only know Him or only know the Lord as their Savior and not their husband. Roman numeral 2, the main Roman numeral together. Our old man, the old husband, has been crucified. Brothers, A with 1 and 2. Verse, which we read. The first husband, the old husband, is the old man, mentioned in 6:6, who has been crucified with Christ. The second husband, the new husband, mentioned in 7:2-4, is Christ. Sisters, B. Since our old man, see, all together. As believers, we have two statuses.
First, there's our old status as a fallen old man who left the original position of a wife, dependent on God.
Okay, I mentioned this already earlier, right? With the original position as a wife, we assume the position of the husband. You see, even in the picture in the Old Testament with Eve, right? When the serpent came to tempt Eve, she started to communicate with the serpent, right? What she should have done is what? Run to Adam, right, her husband, right, and say, can you deal with this guy, yeah, Mr. Snake? He's bugging me. But instead, she did not. She assumed the position and started talking to the serpent, okay? So let's continue. Point two. The second is our new status as a regenerated new man, restored to our original and proper position.
As a genuine wife to God, depending on Him and taking Him as our head.
Okay, 3 and 4. We no longer have the status of the old husband, for we have been crucified. 4. We now have the new status of a proper wife in which we take Christ as our husband, and we should no longer live according to the old man, Okay, let's jump to Roman numeral 3. Let me read it to you. Our old man has been crucified. Our old man has been crucified to the law through the body of Christ so that we might marry another husband, Christ, who has been raised from the dead. I think let's read this together. Okay, let's declare it. Our old man has been crucified to the law through the body of Christ so that we might marry another husband, Christ, who has been raised from the dead. Sisters, A, this joining indicates okay, underline organic union. Brothers B, since Christ is our husband, we must depend on him. So underline depend on him. That's number one. Number two, underline take him as our head. So let's read all the four small points together. To take Christ as our husband means to terminate all that we are, have, and do, and to trust in him for everything. Taking Christ. No longer should we live by ourselves, by Christ. We must let Christ live for us. For we are no longer the husband. We as the old man. So here we can see there is a funeral with the death of the old man. And then there is a what? There is a wedding. With what? With our new husband, which is Christ. Okay, because of time, we will jump. Okay, so that's message four. Sorry, I don't like to jump through the outline, but because of time, I think that's good enough for message four. Okay, let's come to message five. Okay. And again, as I said earlier, message 5, which is mainly on Romans chapter 8, this is the most important chapter in the Bible. So let's come to message 5. Let's read the title all together. Okay, go. The indwelling Christ. So Romans chapter 8, as I said, in these four chapters, Romans 5 to 8, 8 is the main focus of the entire Bible. So let me use this simple illustration to you for you to understand. You know, just like a ring, okay? The whole New Testament is just like a ring. And Romans, the book of Romans, is like the diamond on the ring. And Romans chapter 8 is like the shining of the diamond on the ring. I hope you appreciate that. Meaning, it's the center of the center. It's the main focus, you would say, of the entire Bible. So here we have a few Roman numerals. I think I like to just go through this very quickly. Let's start by reading Roman numeral 1. Okay, go. Roman numeral 1. Romans 8 may be considered the focus of the entire Bible and the center of the universe.
Thus, if we are experiencing Romans 8, we are in the center of the universe.
Wow, isn't this amazing? So the chapter that you just memorized and recited is what? It's the center of the universe. Is what will carry on to your entire Christian life. Let's come to Roman numeral 2. Let's read 2 together. Romans 8 is not a doctrinal chapter, but an experiential chapter. It speaks not about the doctrine
of the Trinity, but about the Trinity and the experience of the Christian life.
That's why every time you come to read a certain portion in the Bible, you need to just not read the letters, the black and white letters. You need to absorb it and even apply it to your daily living. You need to even pray to the Lord. Lord, how do I apply this phrase or this section or this particular verse to my daily living? So let's read Roman numeral 3. Okay, Romans 8 reveals the process triune God as the law of the Spirit of life. We need to realize, praise the Lord, that God has been processed. He is not a, like Brother Lee describes it, not a raw God, R-A-W, not a raw God. He is God in essence, He is one, but in His ministry, He is three. So we need to realize, praise the Lord, He has been processed. And in His process, being processed, He became the Spirit. And as the Spirit, He is now indwelling in our spirit, so that our spirit is now mingled as one spirit with Him. So practically speaking, in our daily living, it is not just us. We have another person living in us. So in whatever you do, wherever you go, you need to realize you are not alone. The Lord is always with you. The Lord is always with your spirit. Just like the example of tea, you cannot separate. Once they're put together, you cannot separate tea and water. So even in Brother Lee's example, a lot of times, you want to go to the movies. Does the Spirit go with you? He does, because He is with you. How can you separate Him when you want to go to the movie and you tell the Lord, can you wait outside for me? And I'll come back to you when I finish the movie in about 2 hours. Is that real? No. He is with you. Amen. Even wherever you go shopping, you go to the movies, He is with you because He is one spirit with you. So that's why sometimes He is forced to go where He does not want to go. And that is where there is the grieving or the groaning in the spirit. So we need to realize, we need to be careful, especially in our living, in our daily living. So, as He is in us, He also becomes a law. Okay? Not a outward law, but an inward moving law called what? The law of the Spirit of life. Yes. Praise the Lord. Just like a simple example, the law of gravity. Right? The law of gravity, if I drop this bottle, what's going to happen? It's going to drop on the table. Right? That is the law of gravity. But you look at the birds. How can the birds fly? The birds have another law that what? That is higher or supersedes the law of gravity. The same is this. The law of the Spirit of life supersedes or is above the law of what? Sin and of death. Hallelujah. We can today experience the process triune God as the law of the Spirit of life within us. And this is for our practical living. Let's come to Roman numeral 4, okay? Let's read 4 together. Romans 8 concerns the life-giving Spirit. Okay, let me read you a small excerpt. And then I'll pass it on to Brother Robert, okay? Okay, the Spirit of life, having become the law, will dispense life firstly into our spirit, so that our spirit becomes life. Amen. Then this life is also dispensed into our mortal bodies, so that even our mortal body will become life. And in 8:6, when our mind is set on the Spirit, what becomes of the mind? The mind also becomes life, right? The spirit is life, the soul becomes life, and the body is life. So in Romans 8, you have the fourfold life of God. God's spirit is life. Our regenerated spirit is life. Our mindset on the spirit is also life. And eventually, our mortal body, having received the dispensing of life, will also become life. We do not only receive life, but become life. This is a very important point. Not only does our spirit have life, but our spirit is life. Amen. such a triune God, so marvelous, so lovely. He passed through the process to become the life-giving Spirit, even becoming a law in order to dispense life into us, so that we would become exactly the same as He is, in life, nature, expression, but not in the Godhead. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He has now what? Become the law of the Spirit of life within us. Amen. Not an outward regulation, but what? But to minister life to us in our daily living. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Albert. For the remaining of the time, until 12 o'clock, we will continue the remainder of message 5, or outline 5, which is the remainder of Romans chapter 8. I was extremely encouraged by the brothers and sisters, the students, who memorized the entire chapter 8. It reminds me so much of when I was growing up and we were attending the summer or winter retreats. And in those days, it was conducted by Brother Witness Lee himself. He encouraged us to memorize Romans chapter 8, word for word. And at that time, I was probably in my late teens. I don't understand what he was talking about. And I don't understand why, of all the chapters in the entire Bible, it has to be Romans chapter 8. But as the years go by, I began to appreciate the meaning of this. So, you know, for the students, you are young, you're still quite clear in your head, not like us seniors. I'm finding myself to have more and more of these senior moments. It seems like the number is going up very quickly. I just wish that you can continue to memorize the Word of God.
Amen.
All the outlines are not an end in itself. The outlines are to help open up the Word of God to us. The Bible is our textbook. Okay. I'm not sure if you can hear me. Okay, good. But we need tools. You know, like there's gold in the mines, right? There's silver, there are precious materials. Well, how do you dig it out? I can't. I don't even have the strength to dig it out, right? So we need helpers, right? And praise the Lord for the ministry of the age.
Amen.
That continually opens up the Bible.
Amen.
To us. How do we know that this is the ministry of the age? It's because every time we come in contact with this ministry, we just love the Lord even more.
Amen.
We just have more appetite for the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, this weekend, you know, shortly, just a day, not quite a whole day, right? We are covering, as we said, as Brother Albert tells us, or the outline tells us, the center of the whole universe. It's impossible to cover this in one day's time. It's simply not possible. We need to spend the rest of our life to dig into this, to get into this. This weekend, if anything, our burden is just to give you an appetite, to open you up, to have such a longing before the Lord. Now, we also speak much concerning life, right? We need to be a tree of life, man. We should not be a tree of knowledge, man. We should not be a right or wrong man, okay? But we need to be those who are eating the tree of life.
Amen.
The emphasis here is life.
Amen.
But I don't have the assurance, especially for the younger ones, if we truly understand what we meant whenever we talk about life. And I'd like to read you this portion from the spoken message. It says here, what is life? I think life, we can easily mistaken it for what? For some kind of an excitement. as some kind of sensation, which is temporary, like vapor. It vanished after this weekend, right? life is certainly not just about shouting. you know, you shout, I shout. You know, we get ourselves into a state of excitement and we consider that as life. Okay, but Monday morning comes. We are down. We are depressed. We need to go back to school. We need to study. We need to write exams. And for the working ones, we need to work. For the young mothers, we need to take care of our children, of our babies, and changing their diapers, right? Okay, at that time, I don't have life anymore. I'm depressed. I'm not happy. I think it's a misconception. The life that we're talking about is simply the life of God Himself.
Amen.
But who is this God? The Bible shows us that God has an economy, meaning a household plan. And this plan has very much to do with His heart's intention. He wants to work Himself into our tripartite being, starting from the regeneration of our spirit. This life will grow. It will spread to the three parts of our soul, our mind, emotion, and will. And then eventually, it will transfigure our bodies.
Amen.
This, the process, consummated triune God. He went through all these steps. This is life.
Amen.
Have you ever heard of this definition before? God's intention is that He would come to be our life and life supply.
Amen.
But we have a problem because sin was injected into us through Satan, through the fall of man. So because of that, there are certain things that we need to go through. Okay. And this is the sequence of Romans 5, 6, 7, and then finally the goal is Romans chapter 8. We were sinners, we were under God's condemnation. So we need Christ to come to accomplish God's redemption for us. He is our righteousness. And so because of His redemption, we have been reconciled to God. We have been justified by God, right? Okay, then no longer are we under the law of death, but we are transferred into the law of the Spirit of life.
Amen.
Okay, then after that, we need to be married to Christ as our new husband. We are no longer married or attached to our old husband, our old man. Okay? Then, still, that is the process. So when He became our new husband, then we need to live the rest of our Christian life with Christ as the indwelling one.
Amen.
What do we mean by the indwelling Christ? The indwelling Christ simply is God in you. Christ is in us. Where is He? He is in our spirit as the life-giving spirit. Okay, so with that, let's come to Romans 5 in this outline. Okay, when we talk about, let me find it. Can you find it? Okay, 5 to 8. What is in the outline? I'm back to the outline now. Okay. Now, this outline, especially 5, 6, 7, and 8, it's mainly on three verses in Romans chapter 8. Which three verses is Romans 8, 9, 10, and 11? Okay. Maybe afterwards, if we have time, I'd like the students to memorize those three verses again. It's so fun, isn't it? It's so wonderful. Yeah. Okay. So it says here, these outline points from 5 to 8 are to help us enter into the focus of Romans chapter 8. Earlier, our brother told us that Romans chapter 8 is the center of the universe, the focus of God's New Testament economy. A focus is a converging point of all the light rays, right? It's all focused in this one point, in this one place, right? So it's good for us to understand what that focus is. Otherwise, we will remain the rest of our Christian life just wandering in the background, and we never get to the subject of the painting. Okay, so here we can see that these few points in this outline, the remaining of this outline, is to help us enter into this focus, not just to know about the focus, right, but to enter into it. Amen. So that the focus becomes our experience. Paul unveiled this matter of the indwelling Christ. So in Roman numeral 5, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, remember the processes not only the triune God went through, right? Incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and then he became the life-giving Spirit. That is on God's side. But on our side, we also went through all these processes. From the day of our regeneration, all the way to our being transformed, being renewed, being conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God, now we need to realize, how do we live the rest of our Christian life until his return? We must see that this Christ, this processed and consummated. Now, these two terms, processed and consummated, maybe for some of the new ones, we need to explain it a little bit. When we talk about being processed, that means this God, you know, we can maybe use this term to express, to describe it, the raw God, R-A-W. Just like the other day, we were in this farm, you know, we saw these beautiful Angus cows, you know. The students kept thinking about the steaks on their table. Well, before it becomes a steak, it needs to go through a process, a long, long process, okay? So this is what the triune God have gone through, okay? So process and then consummate it. You know, when a sister is baking a cake, there is a process. But for me, I can't wait because I want the consummation. I want the cake so that I can eat it. Okay, so not only was our God processed, but he was consummated. Amen. It's finished. Amen. He has done his part. Yeah. Then we have to go through our part. We have to go through certain processes. From being a sinner, from after that, we were redeemed, we were regenerated. Then we are reconciled, we are justified, and then we will start this renewing process, this transformation process, which is a long process until the Lord's return. We are continually under the process of being transformed every single day. Amen. The more we are transformed, the more we are being conformed. We are molded into the image of Christ as the firstborn Son of God. Then one day, we will be fully glorified. We will become God in life, in nature, in function, in expression, although never in the Godhead. Right? Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
This shows us, this portrays, this is a vivid picture of God's full and complete salvation.
Amen.
Okay, so that's why in Roman numeral 5, it says, you are not in the flesh. That's the old husband. That's the past. We are not in the flesh anymore, but we are in the Spirit.
Amen.
If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Oh, I think this is a word of the gospel. Where is the Spirit of God today? Where is it? Is it in the third heavens? No, the Spirit of God dwells in us. This is a marvelous revelation. dear brothers and sisters, we need to worship God for showing this to us.
Amen.
Especially the students, you know, at your young age. Oh, somebody is telling you that this Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, when we talk about the Spirit of God, the Spirit is simply the process and consummated triune God. So this God has all the elements of his incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and now he became a dosage, the life-giving Spirit. Everything is in it. So we can say that this is also the all-inclusive Spirit, right? Everything you need, whatever you need, it's all in this wonderful, all-inclusive Spirit. Okay, then we go on to Roman numeral 6. Can we read it together? Oh, yeah. Okay. Where are you now? Yeah. Okay. How come mine is point A?
We didn't read under Roman numeral 5.
Huh? We did not. Oh, we did not read Roman numeral 5. The points underneath. Okay. I think we should go back. Sorry. You know, I'm not using the outline that you have. Mine is expanded and it's got all my notes in it. Okay, let's go back. Roman numeral 5, point A.
This chapter unveils to us how the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, dispenses himself as life into us, the tripartite man, spirit, soul, and body, to make us his sons.
For the constituting of the body of Christ. Now, okay, this is in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and this is the footnote 1. Okay, I may not have the time to go through all of these points in detail, but let me give you a secret. The way this outline is composed is these three marvelous verses, 9, 10, 11, if you open up your Bible, there are all these footnotes. Okay. Now, college students, you have memorized these verses. I hope for the coming year, you will spend this next year in getting into all the footnotes of Romans chapter 8. Some of them we will show you today, this morning, for the remainder of this outline. So in this point, point A comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 9, footnote 1. Okay, and here is simply telling us that this triune God, whenever we talk about the triune God, we were referring to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. What is his heart's desire, his eternal economy, which we can also refer to as the New Testament economy, right? The New Testament is telling us one thing, that God wants to dispense himself into us as life, not as a doctrine, not merely as a theology, right? Not merely as a subject matter for discussion, but God wants to dispense himself into us as life. Okay, nothing can be more subjective to us than life. Okay. And where will it be dispensed into? It dispensed into our tripartite being, our spirit, our soul, and our body. Okay, to make us his sons, the many sons. He is the firstborn son of God, and we are the many sons of God. And the many sons, with Christ as the head, will constitute the body of Christ. Then let's go to B. B is from Romans chapter 8, verse 9, footnote 2. Okay, you can write it down. Just write it beside B, you know, footnote 2. Okay, let's read it. If we allow the Spirit of the triune God to make his home in us, then in our experience, we are in the Spirit, are no longer in the flesh. So the most important concept in this point is that we need to allow him to make his home in us.
Amen.
Make his home.
does not mean that the 10 brothers that I visited at the Penner's home a few days ago, that's not your home. You are in the basement, you know, mattress after mattress. But this afternoon, you're emancipated. You're going to go home, back to your own bed, right? You know, as we travel so much, you know, during the year, I just enjoy going home because I will be sleeping in my own bed, right? I can do whatever I want to do. Okay, when we talk about Christ making home in our heart, this is the apostles' prayer in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 17. That means he has control. He is the master. He is the owner of all the rooms in your house. Not just in the guest room, not just in the living room, but he can occupy every closet, right? Every room in your home, amen. Right? The main floor, the basement, the top floor, right? He is the owner of that house. That's what it means. Okay, then C. C is from footnote 2 again. Can we read it? If we are so, the triune God as the Spirit will be able to spread from our spirit into our soul, represented by our mind, and eventually he will be given life to our mortal body. You see the spread here from the spirit to the soul, the main part of which is our mind, eventually to our mortal bodies. Okay, then in 6, Roman numeral 6. Yet if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not on him. Now this is from the same verse, but part B. So Romans 8 verse 9, there's part A, part B. In part A, it talks about the Spirit of God. And then in part B, suddenly the same writer, who is the Apostle Paul, he switches from the Spirit of God to what? The Spirit of Christ. So Paul, my dear friend Paul, what are you talking about? Are you referring to God or are you referring to Christ? Are they different? Well, if they are the same, why would you have a different term or a different name, right? Did you notice that? Did Paul make a mistake? You know, for us Chinese people, sometimes we mix he and she. I was referring to a he, but I said she. I was referring to a she, and then I said he, right? It's so confusing. So here, Paul, what are you saying? Part A, you say the Spirit of God. Part B, you then say Spirit of Christ. Are you separating them? Do we have two gods? Or do we have two spirits? Okay, then we need to see this. let's go on to... Okay. Where am I now? Roman numeral 6.
Point A.
Point A. Yeah, this shows. Okay, let's go to A. Depends on his spirit. Okay, this is from footnote 3. Okay, then B. If there were no spirit of Christ, or if Christ were not the spirit, there would be no way for us to join to him and to belong to him. Okay, and then point C. However, Christ is the spirit, and he is in our spirit, and is one spirit with God. With us. Okay, you know, God has gone through, as I said, all these processes. Processes, we can use another word called steps, right? He went through all these steps. So the God, the Spirit of God, I think we can say that in eternity, he was already the Spirit of God. But then through incarnation, through human living, God became what? A man. By the name of Jesus. Then he accomplished God's commission to accomplish the redemption of God for humankind, right? He became Christ, okay? So the Spirit of God is actually the same as the Spirit of Christ. The two are the same, okay? So Paul was not trying to make it a difference between the two and tell us that there's two spirits. Okay, let's go to D. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ are not two spirits, but one. This is in footnote 4. E. Paul uses these titles interchangeably, indicating that the indwelling Spirit of life in verse 2 of Romans 8 is the all-inclusive, life-giving Spirit of the entire triune God. Whenever we talk about the Spirit, we should not and we should never think that it's separate from the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But the Spirit refers to the process and consummated triune God. Now, let's go to F. F is from footnote 4. Okay, F. God, the Spirit, and Christ are all mentioned in verse 9. And then G. There are not three in us. There is only one, the triune Spirit of the triune God. Okay, you know, all those verses underneath is so precious. We just don't have the time, so you need to go and study them. Okay, let's go to Roman numeral 7. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So you have the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of Christ, now you have Christ himself. Christ himself is in you. Okay, this is the indwelling Christ. You know, throughout church history, for the matter of Christ being indwelled in us, this is an item of recovery, right? This is an item of recovery, and we are so blessed to know about this. Okay, underneath point A. Point A, and now this is this verse now. Roman numeral 7 is on verse 10. So point, verse 10, there are a few footnotes. The footnote 2 is on point A. Say, let's read it. Christ in you is the crucial point in the book of Romans. What is the crucial point?
Christ in you.
If you forget everything we said, you should never forget what?
Christ
in you. Say it again.
Christ in you.
Is Christ in the third heavens?
No.
Well, yes, in a sense. Because the Bible, in Hebrews, he is in the heavenlies, right? He is the great high priest, you know, interceding for us, you know, accomplishing his heavenly ministry. But in reality, in practicality, this Christ is in me.
Amen.
Okay, then let's go down to 1, 2, and 3. In chapter 3 of Romans, Christ is where? On the cross, shedding his blood for our redemption. So these are the processes. Remember the steps. This big Angus cow is being processed step by step. Okay. Now, number 2, in chapter 4, where is Christ? He is in resurrection. Did he just remain on the cross? No, he went through a further processing. Okay, we are getting closer to this T-bone steak now. Okay, then in point 3, in chapter 6, we are in Christ. Formerly, where were we? In Adam. But now, through the processes that we go through, we are in Christ. Okay, let's go on. In 4, in chapter 8, Christ is the Spirit in us. So he is in us, we are in him. This is a wonderful mingling and union and incorporation.
Amen.
Okay, and we don't have time to talk about John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, all those wonderful verses to tell us that we have a co-inheriting life with God.
Amen.
Okay, then in B, let's go on. That is from footnote 10:3. Before we believe in the Lord, our spirit within was dead, and our body without was alive. Okay? Okay. See, now, that's before. What about now? We have Christ in us, though our body without is dead because of sin. Our spirit within is life because of righteousness. Okay, then continuing on footnote 10.3, let's go to D. Christ coming into us as life exposes the death situation of our body. E, in our spirit is Christ the spirit as righteousness, resulting in life. But in our flesh is Satan as sin, resulting in death. So do you see the contrast again? Life and death. Okay, then in F. F is in footnote 10.4. Through the fall of man, sin bringing death with it entered the human body, causing it to become dead and impotent in the things of God. One, although God condemns sin in the flesh, this sin has not been uprooted or eradicated from man's fallen body. Continuing to two, hence our body is still dead. And that's why our body is still going through a process. And one day it will be fully glorified. Okay, G. The Spirit in Romans 8:10 is the regenerated human spirit in contrast to the fallen human body. And then in H, starting in H, well, in H, that's footnote 5, the Spirit being life because of righteousness refers to our human spirit, not to the Spirit of God. Okay, we don't have time to read the verse again, but it's good to read it, verse 10, okay, on your own. And then AI, our spirit has not only been regenerated and made living, it has become life. So it's called the spirit of life, meaning to say that spirit is simply life. Okay, now one, when we believe in Christ, he as the divine spirit of life came into our spirit and mingled with it. Now these points are from footnote 6. Then two, the two spirits therefore become one spirit. And a famous verse that we should never forget is 1 Corinthians 6:17, right? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, right? He who is joined to the Lord is two spirits. No, one spirit. Okay, what is salvation? Okay, starting in J is from footnote 7. When I say that, I meant it. Okay, literally, it's a quote from footnote 7. Okay, in God's justification, we have received righteousness, which is the triune God himself entering into our being, into our spirit. One, this righteousness results in life. Two, now our spirit is not merely living, but is life. Okay, then finally we come to Roman numeral 8. If the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you. Then here in Roman numeral 8, suddenly the Apostle Paul brought in yet another term. Oh, the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead. So there's the spirit of God, there's the spirit of Christ, and now the spirit who raised him from the dead. It's not three spirits. It's the same spirit in different processes, in different stages of the processes. Okay. Then let's go on to the next point A. In this verse, which verse are we? 8:11. So that's from footnote 2. In this verse, we have the entire triune God. Is it just a partial God? No, but the entire. When we talk about the entire triune God, we are always referring to God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The one who raised Jesus from the dead, Christ, and his Spirit who indwells you. Okay, let's stand up and read the rest of the points. Okay. Amen. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Christ is dispensing himself into the believers, as shown by the words, give life to your mortal bodies, which indicate that the dispensing
not only occurs at the center of our being,
but also reaches to the circumference, to our whole being. Where is the center of our being?
Spirit.
Where is the circumference?
Body.
Okay, you got it. Go to C. Give life does not refer to divine healing. Okay, remain standing. When we talk about divine healing, what does that mean? In certain movements, right, people are looking for miraculous healing. Like, I'm lame. I want to be healed, right? I have the flow of blood for so many years, like in the Bible, that woman, right? So I want to be healed. With the touch of his garment, I can be healed. That's the divine healing. Okay, on the one hand, there are experiences in that area. But here in Romans 8, it's not referring to that kind of a miraculous healing. Okay, now let's go to D. In this way, he gives his life to our mortal dying body, not merely to heal it, but also that it might be enlivened to carry out his will. So we need to be healed. So that we can carry out God's eternal will.
Amen.
Surely sometimes we need to be healed from my cold, from my back pain. I experience that every day, every week, every month. Okay? Yes, we need the healing of Christ, of God, in our physical body. But here it's more importantly that we could carry out his will.
Amen.
Okay, did we finish it?
Amen.
Oh, miraculously, we're done. Amen. So you can be seated. Okay. Oh, another thing. I don't have time because, but, you know, the Word of God is always living.
Amen.
It is always timely.
Amen.
I just checked with the brothers. The church in Winnipeg is in this holy word for morning revival on the experiencing, enjoying, and expressing Christ part two on the epistles, right? In other words, how do we experience, how do we enjoy, and how do we express Christ throughout the entire 27 books in the New Testament, right? In this second series, which we are starting to cover today. We're supposed to have covered week one, but we are here, so we took over your time. Okay, tomorrow we start week two. Now, if you're in week two, let me tell you, I did not go into details of this outline. But in week two, if you look at the outline, it says, which is week 14, Christ, why week 14? It's because the first series has 12 messages. The second series has another 12 message. We are in the second series, so we started this week or last week with week 13, and then tomorrow we are going into week 13. Is that right? 13.
14.
Oh, 14, yeah. So is that right? That's right. Okay. Now, if you look at the outline, Roman numeral 1, okay, is all on Romans chapter 8. Okay, it saved me, so I don't have to go through details. Okay, now, the title of week 14 is what? Christ as the Emancipator.
Amen.
Because the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life has freed me. Free, F-R-E-E-D, meaning what? It has emancipated us.
Amen.
We are no longer under the bondage of the law of sin and of death.
Amen.
But we are under the dispensing of the law of the Spirit of life. Okay, so the first thing is that we need to remember, he is our emancipator.
Amen.
Whenever we are in the Spirit, we are in his freedom.
Amen.
Freedom doesn't have nothing to do with all these political things that we are hearing about, okay? But it's the freedom from being under Satan's bondage and under his slavery. We are all freed from the law, right? To enjoy Christ.
Amen.
As the tree of life. There is another point here. Okay, if you go through that outline from A, B, C, D, E, and F, even G, it's giving you a summary of this conference. Okay? Yeah. So those are in those points. And then after that, how can we switch on? Right. The outline tells us there are at least six different points for us to switch on. Okay. I think this is good enough.